Hello, all my friends. Before we get into the episode today, I just wanted to give a happy Pride to all of you. Whether you're out enjoying your best life and accepting who you are, or are still having trouble coming out and opening up to the people around you, I want you to know, first of all, screw the negative comments and the hatred. Ignore all of that crap because they are beneath you. And two, you are loved, your feelings are valid, and I hope you have an amazing month and an amazing time celebrating you, not just for the month of June, but for the entire year. All right, we have your back, we all love you, and let's have a great time this month celebrating you and all the people around the world that make this thing go round. Now, back to the episode. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Mental Corner Podcast, the show where I bring on guests from all different backgrounds to talk all the things mental health. And today I have arguably non-biased opinion, the best guest of the Mental Corner Podcast history, myself. And we're going to dive into some burnout that I've had recently, ways I prevent burnout, and ways that I can identify that burnout is currently happening. Stay tuned. So it's funny, I think I've only done 3 solo episodes. I could be wrong about that, but if you include this one, most of them identify burnout or talk about burnout, or there's some sort of theme of burnout in them. I feel like I just keep talking about burnout, but it's such a prevalent conversation in society and for most people, just everyday life, that I feel like it's relevant. And this episode, I kind of hesitated to make it. I kind of hesitated to make another solo one. One, because if you know me, you know I don't like hearing my own voice, despite the fact that I have a podcast that I talk on. But also because, you know, that I had that little voice in my head going, you know, who cares, right? Like, why do you think you're important enough to talk about your personal experience that other people experience and post it online for people to listen to? You're not that important. So I have that voice in my head. So I really hesitated. I was like, do I really want to post this? Do people really give a crap? And then I thought about why I started the show way back 2 years ago. And honestly, chances are if you click this episode, you're either experiencing burnout, you've experienced burnout before. And I figured, you know, I'm not a professional, full disclosure, but I've gone through burnout. I've gone through low periods of my life. And I really hope that me sharing what's worked for me personally can help even just one person. So that's been the goal of the podcast forever. And I would be not following the goal of my podcast if I didn't post this episode. So you're welcome. Here you go. So if you follow me on Instagram or you listen to the intro of the podcast that I had with Noelle a couple weeks back, you'll know that I had a recent experience with burnout myself. And this, it completely took over. And I kind of fell out of love with making the podcast and just doing the things in my everyday life that made me happy. And I kind of woke up dreading, you know, going to work and going to see people and going to work out. And I was just dreading everything. And I felt super drained. And I made the call to take a break, not just from the show, but from social media, from my phone for a while, and just spend time with family, spend time with people that I care about. And we went on a family trip. We went to Alaska. And when I came back, I felt so much better. There was no Wi-Fi up there, obviously. And I just felt like a new person. And that's kind of where I wanted this conversation for this solo episode to go. Because I feel like, you know, we're always so caught up with everything. And that, I'm only going to talk about, you know, my personal experience here, because other people may have different experiences with burnout or different reasons that they're feeling burnt out. But for me personally, what it really was just an accumulation of stress in all different areas. Like, you know, I would look at the news highlights, or I would look at things on Twitter or Instagram, and there's so much negativity because we feed off negativity, and, you know, media feeds off negativity because it drives more clicks. And that's all ultimately all you see. Once you click one, the algorithm just circles back and forth and back and forth, and you're kind of stuck in this little rabbit hole of negativity. And then on the outside of it, I wasn't really taking care of myself. It's kind of funny, you know, being a mental health advocate and promoting all this stuff. And then when you get off the podcast or you get off the social media, you're not really following what you're preaching. And admittedly, that's what I was doing. I'm not happy to say that, but for a while there, I was just kind of putting myself in the back burner and my mental health in the back burner. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't really eating great. My nutrition was terrible. I would skip days at the gym or at Muay Thai to just kind of go home and sit on the couch. I would look at my phone for hours before bed and then right as I woke up. So it was just an accumulation of things. And burnout for people, you know, it happens in all different ways. But for me, this specific burnout happened because my mind was slipping and I just did not address it. And this kind of gets me into my next little point, which is the inner voice in my head. Now, for me anyway, and hopefully this can, you know, certain people can relate to this one, but I wanted to take a break for a very, very long time. But something in me told me that, you know, I didn't need that break, you know, and I promote breaks and taking care of yourself and burnout prevention. I promote it all the time and I push it and I tell people, treat yourself a little bit every Wednesday. And yet for some reason, there was the inner voice in my head telling me, oh, okay, you promote that, but you don't need it. You know, you're different. You're the advocate. You're not the person that the advocate's talking to. And that's just a silly, for lack of a better term, it's just a dumb thing to think or say, but it's been such a force of habit, right? I think a lot of people can relate to that where, you know, you grow up and as you're growing up, you're told, oh, you don't need a break, right? Like having a break's for wimps or it's for weak people or it's for losers. Like the real winners and the real successful people never stop. They never take a break. They never feel burnt out. And that's kind of what was getting into my head. And, you know, after 2 years of promoting the exact opposite, it still leaks in my mind at times. And for whatever reason, this time, I kind of just let it take over as opposed to identifying it and fixing it. I just let it take over. And so I needed a break forever, but I never took one. And ultimately, that's when I crashed. So, I mean, I took the break. It was incredible. I came back super refreshed. But that's kind of why this episode's happening, is because I want to talk about what I did during that break, what I'm doing currently, and how I identified that, you know, burnout was happening. So how was burnout happening and how did I identify that I needed that break ultimately was, I guess, during that cycle of my inner voice telling me you don't need that break, this and that, there was something in me that caught that. There was a moment in time where I came back from Muay Thai and it was like 8 p.m. at night and I had just done a full work day and then another full work day because I have the driving and the coaching and then Muay Thai right after. I don't get home until like 9 p.m. I leave the house early at like 6. And I got home and I couldn't get off the couch. And the inner voice in me was like, get up. Like, you stop resting. There's podcast stuff to do. There's social media stuff to do. Let's go. Go do some yoga. Go do something. But my body couldn't. And I think that's when I started to realize, okay, there's something not right here. Like, usually I can, you know, listen to the inner voice, get up and go do this stuff, but I couldn't this time. And then I really started to notice it when I would wake up in the morning. I would wake up, go right on my phone, and almost immediately dread the day. Just completely, you know, as soon as my eyes opened, I was like, shoot, we have to wake up today. We have to go do work again. We have to do this stupid thing. We have to do that stupid thing. And it just right away, like the whole mood of the day was already just so negative. Just from as soon as I opened my eyes in the morning and heard my alarm, it was negative. And that's when I realized there was something wrong, because I had done such a good job for so long. And then all of a sudden I was starting to feel myself go into the deep end. So then I took the break. And when I took the break, I almost immediately felt like a wimp. Felt like a little, for lack of a better term, pussy. I hate that word because I was called it my whole life, but that's what I felt like. And it felt like, you know, it was very upsetting for me because I had made this goal with the show and with social media that I was going to keep pushing positive messages and all of this. And for some reason, I just believed that the second I took a break, I wasn't worth it. And I wasn't what I was trying to promote. I wasn't the person that I was trying to promote. And so for a couple of days, I felt really guilty. And I had that, you know, that urge to grab my phone and look at the notifications and do all of this. But then once I got, you know, on the vacation and cell service was gone, and this is almost sad to admit, but it just felt like a weight was lifted off. You know, that phone addiction that a lot of us have, pretty much everyone has at this point. You don't realize how heavy that addiction is until you stop it, until the phone's gone and your screen time is gone. And then you realize I'm really addicted, because for a couple of days after the cell service was gone, I would keep looking at my phone because I felt like I was getting notifications constantly. It felt like it was vibrating in my pocket. I would look, there was nothing. I'd look, there was nothing. And then I felt like I was experiencing FOMO, fear of missing out. And I felt lonely, even though I was with family. So I was going through this whirlwind of emotions during this trip. And the trip was incredible. And it was a once in a lifetime thing. And it was one of the best experiences ever. But I was still experiencing this as I was on it. Because I don't know. It was strange. It was a big, confusing mix of emotions. But then after those first initial couple days of kind of settling in and realizing that I was taking this break, and this break was for me and for the benefit of myself, everything was great. And then that's when you realize you're addicted to something that once it's gone is irrelevant. Let me try to rephrase that. I feel like that didn't make much sense. But I guess the best way I can you know, draw it out for people is when I came back from the trip and we landed back in Ontario, I turned on my phone. I turned on the cell service. And I think I had 4 notifications. That's not even like an exaggeration. I had 4 notifications. One of them was a work email. One of them was a text from my mom saying test, because we had tried to text each other on the boat with no success. I think one of them was a Snapchat from a friend group. It wasn't even directed at me. And another was like my Duolingo owl telling me I had to practice my Spanish. So I was gone for almost 2 weeks and I had 4 notifications. And I realized, why am I so addicted to something that's gonna be there all the time? I went on my Instagram after and I thought, either I'm gonna lose all my followers, that's what I had convinced myself, or I don't even know. I was gonna miss something. I think that's what I had convinced myself of. And I get on there and it's like nothing ever happened. It's like I wasn't even gone. And I think that really helped me put things into perspective with my addiction to social media, my addiction to my phone, and the fear of missing out on social media. It's all super ridiculous. And I think you realize it when you leave, but when you're in it, it's a really hard cycle to get out of. And sometimes, honestly, no joke, I'm saying all of this and, you know, it might seem like I'm not on my phone. I am on my phone all the time. Even after the trip, I'm on my phone all the time. And it sucks to admit, but it really sucks you back in. It really does. And so that break was well needed for me. And I was on a live with a former guest on the show, Will Everett. And I was talking about how I honestly think breaks from social media should be like a normal thing for everybody. It should be regulated for everybody. Like at least a week, a month or something. Just getting off social media and going living your real life and unplugging, because that's a term we heard all the time, right? I mean, for me as a kid, when it was an actual literal computer, I was addicted to this video game called Zoo Tycoon. And I would play Zoo Tycoon like all day. I'd play it all day and I'd build a zoo and I'd have animals in it and I would make sure that my zoo was running well. And I didn't really care about the outside world because the guests in my zoo needed to be taken care of. And then my mom would unplug the computer, literally. And I had no choice but to go outside. And so I think we've lost that because there's no plugs anymore, really. You know, you have chargers and everything, but your phone doesn't really need to be plugged in or unplugged. You can always just turn it on with the button on the side. And we've kind of lost that term, but I think we should bring that term back and really unplug every now and then, because it's so vital. For me anyway, it's so vital. I needed that. And so the things I do now currently to kind of mediate my feelings of burnout or kind of regulate them, there's a couple different things I do. And I was doing this prior, but for some reason I had kind of neglected it for a while. I think I was just caught up in everything. But there's a couple things I do. And again, I'm not a professional, so it's always better to take advice from a professional or from some other source. But if you're anything like me, maybe try these out. They might help, but also, again, not a professional, nowhere near it, just a dude going through it. So there's a couple things I do. And the first one I want to address, so I've gotten into this little hobby of, I'm not currently collecting vinyl records, but I want to get back into it. And so what I'm doing is I found a list on the internet about the top 250 hip-hop albums of all time. And this is obviously just someone's opinion. It's not the legit top 250. But I go through at least 2 a day. And I download them onto my phone. And when I'm driving for delivery driving, I play them and I review them in my head and I listen to them and I kind of, you know, give a rating. And not only does it help me take my mind off of social media and the world we live in and all the negative media and everything else that doesn't ultimately matter in the moment, it also has me learning new things about old school hip hop, which has always been a passion for me. It has me, you know, discovering new artists or listening to new ways of rap or new styles, all these things. And it makes me go back into the era that I'm listening to. It really, really helps. And I love doing it because I'm discovering all this awesome music that I never heard of, just from all these artists that half of them I've never even heard of either. So that's one, you know, finding the external hobby and just diving into it. Another one is audiobooks. I feel like I've talked about that before on the show or something. Currently, I'm reading Nelson Mandela's book, Walk to Freedom. Great book, super long. I usually do audiobooks because I'm more of a listener and a visual learner than, you know, a reader, I guess. Or I guess visual is reading, but you get my point. I'm more of a listener. But audiobooks help too, because for me anyway, when I read a book, I fully indulge myself into that book, and I pretend I'm in the area that the author is describing, or, you know, in the scene, in the era, in anything. And again, that takes my mind off of things. So those two are big for me, you know, taking my mind off the current world and kind of getting into this, you know, listening to hip hop or getting into these autobiographies or books or anything. But when I want to, you know, stay like in the present moment and not zone out, because it's good to zone out every now and then and kind of do that, but also you can't do it too much. It's something that needs to be dealt with in moderation, because I've done that as well, where I get too into that fantasy world. Not that autobiography is a fantasy world, but you get what I mean. I get too disconnected from the current world that when I come back, it's like, oh, the current world sucks. And then it's just a whole different negative cycle that you're dealing with. But if I want to stay present, one thing that I do is before bed, I do a little check-in, you know, with myself before bed every day. Okay, how did today go? Okay, why was it good? Why was it bad? Why was it meh? What did I do today that, you know, really made me happy? What did I do today that I wish I had changed? How am I going to improve myself? Things like that. What was one thing that made me smile, made me laugh? Just doing those little check-ins, it takes literally maybe 2 minutes before you go to bed. It's no time at all. But when you do them, not only are you present, but it is a really great way to kind of summarize your day, because just like negative media, or just like the media is attracted to negativity, our brains are also attracted to negativity. And we kind of feed off the negative parts of the day without really ever highlighting the positives. So it's a great way to highlight the positives in my day personally. And I love doing that. And I guess the last one, and I'm being totally genuine about this last one, is if I'm really feeling it, you know, I'll put on a good song or a good album, and I'll either sing the crap out of that album, or I will dance the crap out of myself. Does that make sense? Dance the crap out of myself? Nope, that doesn't sound good. No, I will dance like no one's watching. There we go, better term. I'll dance like no one's watching, or I'll sing the crap out of that song, because that, I'm still in the present moment. I don't even, there's got to be a science behind it, but there's something about dancing and singing that just eliminates everything, everything negative, everything positive, just everything. And you're just in that moment enjoying the song and the dancing and the singing. There's something about that that just really helps me with burnout and really helps me with, you know, being present in the current time. So those are a couple things that really helped me, and there's a couple others that I could really dive into, but ultimately those 4/5, if you include dancing, those 4 are really, really helpful for me and have really helped me with burnout prevention and really kind of getting back to a state where I enjoy waking up in the morning and I enjoy going to work and I enjoy doing the podcast again and doing all of this. And yeah, those are just a couple of things. So I guess the way I wanted to end this episode is like, how can I currently identify when burnout is happening, or how did I identify burnout is happening before this all kind of went quote unquote off the rails? And for me, there's a couple different things that I pick out that really stand out when it comes to burnout. And, you know, this is just from personal experience. Again, not a professional. I'd like to keep disclosing that. But one of the biggest ones is that inner voice in my head. So when I feel tired or I feel drained and I hear that voice go, no, get up. You're fine. You're fine. There's a difference, right? Because I get that voice when I'm working out or I'm in Muay Thai. I get that voice where it's like, no, you can do this. You can do this. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep lifting. Keep doing this. That's a different one. That is a different voice. The voice I'm talking about is when you are exhausted on the couch or, you know, you need to go to sleep. You're sleep deprived. And there's that voice going, no, you don't need it. You don't need sleep. Loser sleep. Two different voices. Two completely different voices. The first one, good for a workout. The second one, not so good. Not so good. So when I can listen to that voice and I can identify that that voice is happening, that's a great indicator that if I keep going on this path, I'm going to experience burnout. I think another one for me is when I wake up in the morning and I am so exhausted, even though I've had a great amount of sleep. No matter how much sleep I get, it feels like I didn't sleep enough. And I feel like a lot of us can relate to that one, especially lately. When I was experiencing burnout or I'm starting to, I'll wake up and I feel like I'm a zombie. I feel like I'm a shell of myself. And that is just, it's a feeling that you know right away when it's happening. Like, it's not like a, oh, am I feeling like I'm a shell of myself? No, you are. Like, you know what it is. And so that's a great indicator for me, is that if I know that I've had 8 hours or 6 hours of sleep, because I operate better with six, and I still wake up and feel like a shell of a human, chances are I'm feeling pretty burnt out. And the last one for me, probably the biggest one, is my irritation towards little things. Now, I've talked on the show and I've talked on my YouTube and my social media about how I used to be a pretty big hothead. And how I used to, you know, get mad at a lot of things, and people around me would walk on eggshells because they didn't want to get me upset. But you know what? No, I'm going to toot my horn a little bit. I've been pretty freaking good on this journey. You know, I find that I've really improved in my patience towards little things that annoy me. I've really improved in identifying when I'm getting that overwhelming sense of anger. I don't even really feel that overwhelming sense of anger anymore. That feeling that, you know, you feel like you blacked out and you just have this rage against you. When I talk about my personal experience with rage, I almost can't identify myself in that story because of how far I've come. So I take pride in that. But when I'm experiencing burnout, it comes very quickly, very easily. And it could be a little thing that sets me off. And immediately I'm just down a spiral, pissed off, angry at people, you know, cussing, doing all these things, getting so angry over things that don't matter in the end and wouldn't even get me mad if I was, you know, in my normal state. I hate using the word normal, but you get what I mean. So when I'm experiencing burnout, little things really make me upset and they really piss me off. And I start to experience that rage again. And I think once I feel that rage, it's a feeling that I never wanted to feel again. So to feel it again is kind of where I go, okay, I'm drawing the line here. This is where I need to start applying my burnout stuff. And so those are three things that really help me identify when I'm experiencing burnout. And then that's when I can ultimately implement, you know, the things that help me prevent it or help me moderate my feelings and stuff. So that's pretty much all I wanted to get into for the solo episode. Thank you guys for listening. I hope that, you know, again, not a professional, but I hope that my personal experiences can help someone out there listening in any way. And if you are listening and you are experiencing burnout or you feel frustrated and exhausted, just reach out to me. Or hopefully something in this, you know, might help you. Please reach out to a professional if, you know, it's that serious. I'm rooting for you. I know this fan base is rooting for you. We all love you. Just keep going, right? Take that break if you need to. You're not a weak person if you take that break. Isn't it funny? Like, I'm a mental health advocate and I promote, you're not weak if you take a break. You're not weak if you need time for your mental health. And yet when it comes to myself, my inner voice goes, shut up, you wimp. Like, you're fine. It's such a weird conundrum. But take that break. Seriously, you're not a weak person if you take that break. And just keep going, all right? There's love around the corner, as my shirt says. So if you are listening and you found something in this helpful, you know, let me know. Reach out to me on Instagram, shoot me an email, do anything. And then, of course, like every other episode, you know, like, comment, share, subscribe, 5 stars on that podcast platform, and share with someone who you think might want to hear this episode. All right. I love you guys. I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. That's all. All right. Take care.